Our reading is Matthew 21, verses 1 to 13. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers."
Thank you so much, Annie. Good morning. Welcome again, everyone, to our live stream. My name's Tim. I'm one of the leaders at Holland Road. If you've got a Bible, then do grab it. And you can follow along from that for the talk this morning. I'm accompanied this morning by our hamsters, Bubble and Squeak, who are over my left shoulder, who've had to undergo their own social distancing. But that's a story not suitable for children. This room is normally where I write my messages. It's the first time that I'm speaking from here too. I wonder what you're having to do for the first time. Maybe you're doing school from home. Maybe you're really missing it. Hands up if you're missing school. I think that's all the parents just put their hands up, some of the children too. Maybe you're learning to be a parent teacher right now. That's really hard. Maybe you're learning to do a different job or do it completely different way. Perhaps you're caring for others. I know that's true for many, and for some of our healthcare workers, that means moving to direct care of patients with the coronavirus. Please keep praying for them. It's an extraordinarily difficult time for the NHS at the moment. Maybe you're having to adjust to the challenge of no work, or adjusting to self-isolation and not be able to get the things that you need. Perhaps you're having to ask help for the first time. There's a lot of people who need help at the moment, and that's what I want to talk briefly about this morning: how to get help. The help that you need at this time. The first Palm Sunday was set firmly in the context of people needing help. God's people were in trouble. In fact, they'd been in trouble for a long time. They had been taken over by the Romans and were effectively ruled in many ways like slaves. The lockdown measures we're experiencing today are in many ways nowhere near as severe as what they experienced. They didn't ask for volunteers in that society. At any point, a soldier could just demand your service. Many were extremely poor because of the harsh taxes that were placed on them. These were difficult days. And yet strange rumors had started to spread that help might be coming. Apparently, really sick people were getting healed. The blind were seeing. People who had never walked were walking for the first time. Hungry people were getting fed, apparently 5,000 people at once. And then there were some stories circulating of huge storms being calmed in an instant, and the extraordinary account of a young girl raised from the dead. These rumors, they had started as a whisper, But now they were impossible to ignore because so many people had seen these things for themselves. And then kind of this moment comes that we've just read. this moment when the one at the center of the rumors, Jesus, comes out of the shadows and goes public. And everyone hears about it. And verse 10 of our passage says, the whole city is asking, who is this? Is this for real? You know, perhaps you have a question a bit like that at the moment. Maybe you're watching this morning because you wonder, is this Jesus thing for real? Perhaps you're asking, where is God at the moment? Is there really divine help in the midst of this life and particularly this troubled time? And the answer I want to suggest is emphatically, yes, there is help, but it's easy to miss. Now, on that first Palm Sunday, the people were pretty sure that Jesus was the one who could help them. But by the end of the week, most of them had completely changed their minds. Many missed the help that could have been theirs. This morning, I want to talk briefly about how to make sure we don't miss the help from God that could be ours at this time. And this is two bits of advice to make sure we get the help that we need. The first is this. We need to welcome Jesus. If you want to know God at work in your life, if you want Jesus's help, you have to welcome him in. You know, the crowds at first sight seem to get this right. It's like an improvised red carpet moment as they lay down their cloaks, verse 8. They dare to believe that maybe this is the one they've been waiting for. If you've read the Old Testament, you'll know that it's full of these kind of predictions of a king who will come to restore, to heal, and to help people. And this prophecy from Zechariah 9 says, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. I don't know what you'd expect from a king. Most of us would never expect a king to come to us. Royalty in this world are behind locked gates and armed soldiers. But this king is so different. He's willing to come right to where we are. He knows where you are right now. And he wants to come to you. But he comes gently. God does not demand that you kind of accept his help. He gently offers it. Gentleness is a beautiful thing. And by the way, this is definitely a time where we need to be gentle with one another. Be gentle with your children, with your work colleagues and parents and spouse and your friends. There is great strength in gentleness. Gentleness kind of, it offers the opportunity to be welcomed, but it doesn't guarantee it. Something's wrong here. You see, in a few days' time, the crowd will be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Why does that happen? You know, why do people who at first seem so attracted to Jesus turn and reject him so strongly? That still happens today. Why? Well, the answer's on the video we watched earlier, the way Jesus arrives. You see, this is the only record we have of a time when Jesus doesn't walk somewhere. He just walked all the way from Galilee, about 70 miles away. And yet for these last 2 miles, he says, now I need a donkey. And it wasn't unusual for kings to ride donkeys. Solomon rode a donkey when he was made king, but they were used at particular times, times of peace. And in Zechariah 9, verse 10, we see that the donkey gets contrasted to the war horse. There's a picture of the contrast. It's a stark contrast. And this is what they've missed in the crowd. You see, Jesus is not coming as a military hero to overthrow the Romans. He is a mighty king, but his strength is going to be displayed in serving and sacrificing and in humility. And for many, this was not the kind of strength that they wanted. It was not the kind of help that they were looking for. You know, sometimes we want God's help, but only on our terms. We might say, yeah, God, I really need you to fix this particular situation. And if he doesn't, we think, well, maybe you're not the king I need. You know, this is a time when everything in our world has been turned upside down. And we might be tempted to think that, God, we just need you to fix the virus problem. Sort that out, God. But maybe God wants to do more than that. Could God be drawing our attention at the moment to a planet in a global warming crisis, a society driven by excess and greed and consumerism, a world with huge poverty and disparity in wealth? Could there be more that we need to kind of welcome Jesus into at the moment? In our Lent readings on Thursday, we were reminded that Jesus says that we actually welcome him as we welcome the stranger, as we serve the needy and the hungry. Thank you to all those who've been doing that at the moment, who've been shopping for others, those who are giving generously, those who are calling, connecting, serving. We need to welcome Jesus. Finally, we need to worship Jesus. This huge crowd of people who would have been on their way to celebrate the Passover festival in Jerusalem, they gather around Jesus. They start to shout and they sing. If you look, they sing, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna at this point was a common form of praise and prayer. This looks like a kind of genuine worship moment. You know, most people, when they think about worship, they think this is it. It's a picture of people kind of worshiping, you know, declaring who God is. And it certainly includes that, you know, singing and declaring God's praises. And in verse 11, we have the answer to the question, who is this who heals the sick, who stills the storm, who raises the dead? The crowd's answer is, this is the prophet. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one who will save. And again, it looks good. But as Jesus then comes to their main place of worship, as he enters Jerusalem, as he enters the temple, he drives out not the Romans, but God's people. What was wrong with their worship? Jesus highlights one thing. Verse 13, the absence of prayer. He says this, "It is written," he says, "and my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The temple was supposed to be the place of intimacy with God, the place where people could kind of meet with God, hear his voice, encounter the one who made them, the place where kind of heaven was touching earth. But at this point, there was no real connection happening with God. It had been replaced by a market. The reality for the crowd was that their welcome of Jesus was conditional and their worship was shallow. And the problem is, we're much more like this crowd than we dare to admit. Often we don't welcome God or others as we should. Often we are selfish. I know that's true in my life. Often our words are so much grander than our actions. So where is the hope if we're more like the crowd? Well, the hope is in the words that they shouted, Hosanna, which we know means save us. Our hope is in this king who came on Palm Sunday, who, despite the fact that people turned against him, refused to turn away from the people. He kept coming. His welcome for us went further than anyone ever dared dream. His love for us, his desire to help us, took him all the way to the cross with his kind of arms outstretched. In the greatest welcome the world has ever seen, as he dies for those who rejected him. Why? So that we could be forgiven and invited into true worship and intimacy with God. You see, on the cross, Jesus is kind of cut off from God so we can get reconnected to God ourselves. The cross is the help that we most need, because it's there that our sin is dealt with. It's there that the powers of evil are conquered and death itself is defeated and new life is offered to anyone who will welcome Jesus and worship him. On the Encounter podcast, Sophie Draycott said, "We need to be rooted in hope at the moment. This is our hope. This is the way to the presence of God that can scatter all the fears that surround us at the moment." And next week, we're going to see how that presence then paves the way for the power of God to be released in our lives. That the presence of God changes everything. And that's what I want to pray about now. As we respond, perhaps as you've listened, you've realized you need to welcome Jesus into your life. You need that presence. You want that presence more. Perhaps there are things that need clearing out to put him at the center. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you welcome us with arms wide open. Thank you that you loved us so much that you even went to the cross to welcome us, to welcome me. Please clear out the rubbish of my life. Maybe there's something you might want to even just confess quietly in your heart to God, just something you want him to remove. Please flood my life with your presence. Scatter all my fears. Help me live with arms wide open to you and wide open towards others at this time, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Dan now. We're just going to respond in worship together.